and every venue that you put yourself into is really important, and it means keeping track of your physiological health, your emotional health, and the people you choose to be with. And so the more you want the best that fits you the best, the more you get that. It's like sending signals out. I mean, I really can't explain that sort of thing. I can't explain why this guy tapping me on the shoulder and saying, let's go for a cup of coffee, made so much difference, made all the difference in the world to how I thought about how was I going to get my new profession really successful. It's like it doesn't always depend on me. It does depend on me getting up every morning and taking some kind of action, but it also depends on me being alert to those around me who have something to offer, and they'll offer. And I can only guess that I must have turned down many offers, years and years ago.
Namaste, sweet souls. My name is Shilpa, and you're listening to the Omni Mindfulness Podcast. I am a mindset and meditation coach for professional women and mompreneurs. The purpose of this show is to offer stories and content that allows you to increase your awareness of your authentic self and be inspired by connecting to the personal and professional stories of other souls. Souls who are walking the walk and living everyday human experiences with inspired intentions. These are the stories that will expand your consciousness and spark within you to ask, what if? Each season, I offer content to help you create a holistic lifestyle that embodies spirituality, mindfulness, mindset, and energy awareness. Through my conversations with experts in their niche area and solo casts from yours truly, my intention is to help you holistically revitalize, reset, and relax your body, mind, and spirit. I'm your host and founder of Omni Mindfulness. So ask yourself, what if just one story could be the catalyst to shift the trajectory of my life? What if I become instrumental in serving other souls to realize their true self? And what if my soul's higher purpose is in the realization of Omni Mindfulness joy? It's never too late to rewrite your story. And now, today's episode. Welcome back, sweet souls. This is your host, Shilpa. I wanted to share some exciting news about a little challenge I'm running, as I'm trying to get more people to discover this podcast and the conversations that inspire those who value personal growth. And the best way to do that is to leave reviews. You can leave a review on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or Apple Podcasts. So my request to you is to leave a review if you feel that you've received any value at all from these episodes of Omni Mindfulness. It would mean so much to me if you could write a little review regarding any episode that resonated with you. Please take a screenshot of that review and email it to me at omnimindfulness@gmail.com. In return, I will offer you my one-page guide to spark your meditation practice through Sankalpa. Sankalpa is a Sanskrit word for intention setting. Along with this, you'll receive a link to my guided meditation that will guide you through an intention setting meditation, positive affirmations, which you can practice daily. I guarantee that this gift will help you start a daily intention setting practice with a spark. It is my gift for you for being a listener, being a supporter, and of course, to enable you to manifest the best meditation practice. We are now in the season of reflections, which is my fourth podcast season, highlighting spirituality, mindfulness, energy awareness, and mindset. And up next, I have the honor of having a conversation with my friend, Dr. Joanne Pallet. Dr. Joanne Pallet is the owner of Triton Business Coaching. She is a leader, innovator, life shaper, speaker, writer, straight shooter, and upon occasion, a very funny person. Working with individuals who are facing current challenges or struggles with the aftermath of personal adversity, Dr. Jo helps her clients map a new path, a new destination for their life that they never thought possible. With a doctorate in clinical psychology and international certification in group dynamics, she facilitates leadership, trains teams, helping individuals claim and light the fire within them, whether at work, home, or in their private life. She is passionate about the use and abundance of opportunity, learning how to live with daily joy and maturing every day into one's self without fear. And now, here's Dr. Joanne.
Dr. Joanne Pallet, you are one of my favorite new souls. I've met you recently, and we became friends through the Soulful Speakers Incubator.
That's right.
It's such an honor to have you here, Doctor. Perhaps you can take a moment and share who you are and your background.
Right. Well, my name is Dr. Joanne Pallet. The doctor refers to a degree in clinical psychology. I have a doctorate in clinical psychology, and I have about 50, 60,000 hours of being certified as a group expert. So I do this within the business field now, not within the health field. I used to work in the health field, and about 25 years ago, I just really walked away from that and I walked right into doing business coaching. So what is it that I do when I do business coaching? Well, primarily right now, I'm working with individuals, young men and women who are either working on their own business or they are working for another company and they want to travel up through the ladder and don't know quite how to manage the politics of it and the cultural framework. Because that's a big thing in business now, is to manage your culture. But I know all about that, because culture comes from the very first place we lived when we were born. We learn about culture right from the get-go. And we keep learning that as we go to school, we become toddlers, we go to day school now is very prevalent with little kids. Then on to regular school, and then on through college, then onto a company, or people do have their own company. So I'm really interested in one-on-one managerial and executive coaching. I do career development, because that's a process within the business to develop your career. And then also team training. I really love the team framework, which every company has. And even if you have a small company and you work with three other people, you have a team. And so I teach team training in terms of what does the leader do? What are the components of each person as they work together to produce something? And I never worry about what the company does, because everybody I've ever worked with, they know what to do on their job. What's more difficult is what some of us old timers call the soft skills, which don't really get taught within school, because you have to think about learning what will work with where you're at. And it doesn't really matter whether you're working within a company or you were working with your own company, even if you're just a solo entrepreneur. In fact, if you're good, you'll get bigger and then you'll have more people working with you. So that's what I do. I have a dog. People do consider me funny upon occasion, which is an interesting thing. And I came to really love the possibility of being a good professional speaker, because every job you have, you're going to have to stand up and you're going to have to talk about and reach out to folks to let them know what the process is that you're presenting, whether it's the program you put on, whether it's some kind of process your team has done. So being able to speak in public becomes very important. And I found out I really like to do it. So that's how we met at the Soulful Speakers Incubator, which is a training program for folks to learn how to speak in a professional way, regardless of the circumstances.
Absolutely. And I believe that so much of our healing occurs when we are able to share our story. And I've learned so much about your story, and you've learned a lot about mine. You know, what's interesting is you brought up the word culture. And I had a professor in graduate school, and I once was complaining about something called politics. And he told me that the Latin word of the root of politics means people. Wherever you have people, you will have politics. And that didn't settle well with me. It never quite really worked. And coming full circle now, seeing it from an entirely different perspective, and when you use the word culture, it's interesting because corporations are cultures.
That's, you bet they are. And everyone's different.
Everyone's different. And what's interesting also is having a conversation with someone who coaches those cultures with your skills during a period where a lot of us are shifting, particularly post-pandemic. I feel like many of us are like, do I want to still remain in that culture, or do I want to go solo or become a mompreneur? What are your thoughts on making that transition from one culture to your own culture?
That's a good way of putting it, from going from one culture to your own culture. Finding your own culture is a really important thing to do. I would say that, I mean, I made some decisions back 25 years ago that I wasn't very happy in what I was doing, in the sense that, did it make me feel vibrant? Did I wake up every morning, I'm really glad to go to work? Did I have some joy that came out of that? Well, what I discovered was, is that it was just not the right job for me, not the right career for me. It didn't fit. And I sought out a coach to find out what I was supposed to do about that. But I actually made my own decision. So when you talk about a story, I mean, I woke up one morning and said, I've had enough of not being really thrilled with my job. Doesn't matter that I'm good at it. Doesn't matter how much you make. If you're not feeling happy on the inside, I mean, that means everything. So I went cold turkey into something that I had not been trained for officially. But frankly, within the business world, the understanding I have of cultural norms within family dynamics, and when people work together in team frameworks, and why people do what they do, so that in the business world, you don't get caught off guard by what not knowing to do with the manager that treats you bad, or the raise you don't get because you're not considered good enough when you know you darn well are. And I think Zoom has opened up the possibility for us women, especially, to step right out there, you know, step right out there and give it a try, what you've had in the back of your mind for a long time. And I think you're probably one of those entrepreneurs who've had it in their mind for a long time of what you wish to do. Am I right about that? Yeah, wish to do.
Absolutely. It's so funny that you should say that. Some of my training, in fact, a lot of it, was not only in design, but it was research. And the research element included ethnographic, ethnomethodology, understanding cultures, understanding people, interviewing them so that you can uncover the gaps and opportunities to optimize and improve processes and organizations. And in the process of developing these skills very early on, we're talking 20 plus years ago, when I was still in the very beginning of my career, I kept thinking, I really enjoy this interview aspect. I really enjoy understanding people. what if I could do more with this one day? And never did I ever conceive that there would be something called podcasts and I'd be interviewing people
Oh, right.
and that,
Same here.
you know, sharing the stories of others is part of the journey of healing. And the wisdom of others, which is often hidden, the stories, like when you were saying, training people in corporations, I would have given you gold when I was in my depths of my struggles, you know, when I thought I needed a mentor but didn't even know I needed a mentor.
Where to go?
And
Where to go?
I
That where to
really
go?
we all need it, or at least I can speak for myself, my persona, my who I am, and what I was experiencing as a woman in technology, as a Indian woman in a corporate culture, all of these elements, that soul needed someone who could have mentored her and said, what you're experiencing is not normal, or it is normal, or here are some tools on how to improve, because it's not easy out there in those cultures.
I think there's very little training or even in-house training if you're hired by a company or you have a business. Say you have a small business and the small business offers some opportunity. Maybe it offers a payroll service or a service that's a one-person, two-person, three-person service. Say you think you'd be a good manager for a tax person. Well, you step into a tax person's office as an employee, or if you start your own tax company, maybe you're really good at doing all kinds of work with numbers. You're really good with numbers, and you take some courses, and then you open up your own business. And in through the door comes all these folks who each one of them brings their own framework. So to understand the framework and be able to breathe with the knowledge that you have something to offer, not everybody will be a good fit. But you know what? If you really know what you're doing, you'll pick the right person to work with, whether it's like yourself or myself, or whether it's you out there watching and listening. It really needs to be a good fit. So you could learn some of the things that your degree did not come with, because some of this stuff has to be talked about with what you're actually dealing with, not out of textbooks. You cannot learn to be a leader out of a textbook, and you cannot really learn how to lead, be a good, effective team leader out of a textbook. You could read about all the different things that it does, that those people do, and all the different positional roles people in a team may take. But you can't learn to do that without doing it. So what happens in very often is you're working on your own, or for instance, and you have a podcast, you're working on your own, but you're really working with dozens of other people that you invite on as you invited me on. And how do you do that? Well, you pick the right fit for the topic area and for the melding with you as we meet each other. As we meet each other. So I really think today's younger woman often stands at a disadvantage because we don't get grow up with pats on the back as much as men get. And we're not given as many passes as men get. And how to maneuver that without feeling defeated right from the get-go is just another ball game. So I love working with women and I love working with young men. On the other hand, I have to say almost everybody's younger than I am. So I don't mean I just mean younger people that didn't grow up through the boomer years. I'm a boomer person. So my whole backdrop is a culture very different than what today's the culture you live in today. When you work today, more opportunities today. Look at you. I mean, look at you. You're a young woman and well, you're shaking your head. No, you're not. Sure, let's talk about age. You know, if you're over 20, you've learned a lot. If you're over 30, you've learned twice as much, probably. And if you're married and you have children and a husband or a partner, you've learned, you double up. It's exponential, like mathematics. It's exponential of what you can learn. So,
Yeah, and when you were talking about a framework earlier, it's interesting that knowledge that you gain at different stages in your career or your life, I do believe that having some level of framework and acknowledging that I need to be able to put my mind, wrap my mind around what I'm learning, who I am, and
right.
being able to use that framework as you evolve through the different stages is not something I recognized or was aware of. It was like working through the blind, like, oh, okay, I'm in my 20s. I need to quickly get that corporate job. I have the degree. Now I have to ask for the salary that I believe that I should be getting. Oh, I didn't get the promotion because it went to the male counterpart that I should have. And then, like for myself, there was a stage where I made a huge leap from a very stable job that paid really well at a major corporation, but I left because I wasn't getting the promotion that I deserved and the mentorship that I was seeking. I would explicitly ask, may I be mentored? May I get some assistance? Which I thought was really
Oh,
brave. Like, here I'm, they're
that
telling
was
me,
good.
yeah, here they're telling me, like, oh, your performance reviews are excellent. You're getting paid top dollar. Put your foot off the gas, is what I was told. So,
Put your foot off the gas.
yeah, like,
Oh, how outrageous.
yeah, like I was just too ambitious, maybe. But in the process,
You were too no, you were ambitious and you need to be, and what you were is you were seen as a threat.
I don't know.
Somebody was jealous of you. Yeah.
It was all
Yeah.
mostly male counterparts, and in any case, the mindset I had at that point was I need to leave because what I need, I plateaued in this organization. It didn't get easier. I didn't get more mentorship. I did have, and this is not everybody's story. I know women who've excelled, but I'm just saying that there are some women who had nothing, no baseline support, mentorship. That was me. And I think now that I've entered this new stage in my life as a solopreneur, keeping that mindset, that a framework in a support system is helpful. Like what you and I have through the incubator.
Yeah, maybe I could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Before I got to the incubator, I discovered that part of what might make the dreams that you always had, that you thought you could have, but you didn't know what they would be, perhaps, would I didn't know they might come from the outside of me. I mean, I literally, when I walked away from a different career, I didn't know what to expect in the business world. I'm good at studying, so I studied up. I feel I didn't have to go back and get an MBA. So I joined some networking groups. I joined a chamber of commerce, and all of a sudden, here's what I learned: that very often you're going to get a tap on the shoulder. It might be literally somebody taps you on the shoulder and says, "No, Shilpa, Mary Lou, Margaret, let's go have a cup of coffee." And you'll learn that that person invited you to offer you something you would have never offered yourself. You wouldn't have thought about it. So I was offered the opportunity. I mean, this gentleman said, "You know, I think you'd make a great Rotarian." I got to tell you, I did not know what a Rotary person was. I did not know what Rotary was. Well, today I'm a Rotarian, and only because I said yes to an outside invitation that I thought was safe. Now we're talking about being safe. I wouldn't be a Toastmaster. I'm a Toastmaster, where I learned some of the very basics. I wouldn't be in the incubator group for entrepreneurial women, unless I had been offered. I would have never thought of those things back in my old, I'll call it my old world. Like you talk about the job you had, that's your old world. I mean, I don't want to drive into my rear view mirror. I want to drive straight forward. So I want my clients to drive straight forward. And so all these outside invitations, say yes. Say yes. Now, if you take the invitation and you try it out, if I had tried out the Rotary Club where you get to go visit, and if I didn't like it, I could say to that person, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm not so sure it fits in right now with my life, but thank you. But the opposite thing is to say yes. And it'll be a telephone call. It might be an email. It might be something off of LinkedIn. It might be, maybe you've been on LinkedIn looking and somebody's gone on LinkedIn said, would you like to talk? Yes, and it's a person that you would have in a business that you would have never thought about yourself. Say yes. You don't know where that's going to go. Well, say yes. So that's a little tip that I think my clients usually find unusual to say yes to that tap on the shoulder tip, which sometimes actually is tap on the shoulder. So that's a tip to go by. Everybody should be doing that. And I still do it.
I love the tap on the shoulder tip analogy, metaphor, literal or somewhat metaphorical, because literally I feel the new opportunities that have come into my life in the last few years have always been because of that tap on the shoulder, so to speak. And some of it is, I would say, serendipity. And that's often like this incubator thing we're re speaking of for the audience who doesn't know. Again, we met through the Soulful Speaker Incubator for Entrepreneurial Women. And that opportunity was literally me having one time seen someone post a comment about giving a talk in the incubator. And I knew her through some other place in time. And I thought, well, she's pretty wise and very savvy. Let me follow Holly also, or whatever this Shine on Stage forum is. That led to one thing after another. And one day, Holly's live
Right.
giving tips on talks. And next thing I know, I'm like, oh, I could use this growth opportunity. And again, it goes to mindset. This is our very our conversation for today is, unconsciously, I have had a growth mindset and not even aware of it.
Well, I like to make my clients really aware of it.
Yeah.
So that comes into play with all kinds of things, like should you stay at your regular job? Should you really try to put together the amount of money or time or effort for a business of your own? Or you're in a business of your own, and now you're making a little bit of groundwork, but you don't know where that can go or don't know how that should go and where are you going to get that from? Say yes. Look for the tap on the shoulder.
Reminds me of a Jim Carrey film. I think it's called Yes. Do you recall that?
Yes, there's a book out about that. That didn't come from me as an original.
Yeah.
I just that came from me as an experience, because I had to decide within a few seconds when I got the invitation whether I was going to say yes or not. So that's why I added it needs to be a safe environment. The gentleman, I really didn't know him on any personal level. He was in the networking group, and he said, "Let's go have a cup of coffee." And I thought it was safe enough. It was public and it was safe. He was a nice man. And he was sincere about what he said. He said, I think you have the qualities that would make a good Rotarian. And I'm going, I better not let him know I have no idea what a Rotarian is. He talked about, I says, tell me more. And he talked about it. And I went to visit a club. And pretty soon I decided if I'm going to learn to give back to my community, then perhaps this is a good place to learn. And that adds to my repertoire. How can I give back to you? How can I give back to you, Shilpa? How can I give back to you? It's not what I can get from you. It's like, what can I give back to you? Because it's that, you know, that movie, Pay It Forward.
Yes.
I think we need to pay it forward. And I mean that in the most kindest and caring way, positive way. I don't mean get even. That's a pay it forward kind of thing. I'm not talking about get even. I'm talking about really sharing and paying forward the things that people hand you for no charge. There was no charge for that cup of coffee.
Yes. You know, I'm glad you said the sentiment of behind the expression pay it forward. For me, it means working from a place of service. And one thing that I
Yes.
really love about what I do, and you know that I'm still, relatively speaking, at the beginning stages of building this business that I have for coaching. And over and over, those people that have truly resonated with me, that are truly doing well, and where they give and give, they talk about service first and looking at humanity in a very different way. And that's something that's definitely a mindset shift. Not something that's difficult for me, because I'm a natural giver, but it's still a mind shift set a change, because a lot of the work that I now do for my coaching business, it's a lot of giving, 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 and giving and paying it forward. Like the podcast, you know, it's not funded. I curate each of the contents, and I believe that it's powerfully, I would say, inspirational and helpful for those who truly understand where it's coming from.
That paying it forward thing is a piece of one's compassion and empathy for our fellow human beings. And while there are times when you have to say, this isn't the right job for me, the right company for me, the right department for me, the right career for me, which I've done, I have to tell you that I don't know many people that walked away from a very good career. I mean, really good career. And I only did that because I better think carefully about how I say this. I only did that because I didn't want to spend a lot of time for the rest of my life wavering on how to manage the lack of joy that I think people ought to get out of what they do for a life. So you may think you're brand new. I think you are already have stepped into your power. And obviously you're not afraid of it, or we would not be talking. And if you're out there watching, if you're watching, you have the same kind of power inside of you that you're watching us to display, just in the fact that we care about what we do, we care about one another, that there are friends everywhere, that there's a place for joy in the work you do. I have never been as happy in my whole life, and I'm probably older than you if you're watching this, than I am today. And that counts for my mental health, that counts for my physical health, that counts for new people in my life. So many new people come into that atmosphere of being joyful.
Hey, sweet souls, if you are seeking to start 2023 strong, then you are in for a treat. In 2023, I'm collaborating with the financial planner and author of Awaken Your Wealth, Julie Murphy, to host a 3-month online workshop aimed at professional working women or mompreneurs who seek to manifest financial freedom. Did you know that taking your manifestations to the next level is about integration of financial planning tools and mindfulness modalities
that help you cultivate the skills to recognize what your current abundance mindset is and build your ability to receive. In 3 months, you can learn practical skills combined with powerful mindfulness tools to overcome your financial fears, eliminate anxiety, and take control of your financial life. Join us and learn to implement a practical plan to optimize your money and your life. Click on the link at the bottom of the show notes to get on the early sign-up list. Namaste.
When you meet a person that's joyful and happy with themselves, you want to be with them. You want to take some interest in them. You want to say, gee, how did they get that way? I'd like to be more that way. I'm happy when I do this thing, but I don't know about that thing. How do I get to be happy in both places? How do I do that? And in the business world, it's often, I need to make more money and I'm not getting the raises that I'm supposed to get, or I really want to work in a different department and there's all kind of roadblocks to that. And, I ask people, where do you want to be on the pyramid? And I'm talking with a person, you, Shilpa, you have your own pyramid. And you are already maneuvering up and around on the depths of that powerful pyramid. And you know it. I don't think you'll get off. If you're on something powerful, are you going to get off of it? I don't think so. No, I don't think so. So you're really brave.
Oh,
so when you say something about meditation, I listen. Because my framework for meditation, and I've not taken any work from you, so that I learn maybe perhaps in the right way, but I do a whole bunch of things with clients and have for years that I do for myself. I mean, you could try it out yourself, and maybe you can talk a little bit to people that are watching. When there's something going on and I feel tight on the inside or upset on the inside or challenge in some way that makes me feel like a little bit fearful. I'll just call it like it is, fearful. I put my hand right on my chest and I breathe real deep as much as I can. You can try it yourself as much as you can and hold it for just a few seconds and just let it all out. And you could do this anywhere. You could do this anywhere. You can do it in the ladies' room where nobody sees you. You don't have to do it out in public. You can do it literally sitting in your chair at work and hold your hand like this. Sometimes what I tell folks is you're going into a meeting or you're interviewing somebody new and it's a little intimidating, you can go wherever you're at. You can go to the washroom, shut the door, stand in the stall, raise your hands up way high, reach for the sky, and just stand like that. Do you know that is all over the world? Every country's culture we come in, the victory comes when a person raises their hands in the big V for victory. And you can do that yourself. Every one of us can do that ourselves. And I get kind of frustrated with stuff that happens. We all get frustrated. Sometimes I actually go into my office, or I go into a private room, or I go take the dog for a walk. And I don't care if people outside, the strangers buying me the car, see this woman with her hands up in the air like this, And I feel better when I come back. So this breathing thing is, I think, is really a part of powerful meditation. Am I right?
Absolutely. Breath work is probably what I've often referred to as the gem in your back pocket to get the energy moving. Huh? It's essential, and yet I, present company included, I will sometimes forget what a powerful tool each of us have. And the more mature I've become, I will become aware of the fact that, just yesterday I was in the midst of doing something in the kitchen and I caught myself going, my chest is tight, I am not breathing. And so meditation and breath work are one in one. You can't go through a really good meditation and sit there holding your breath going,
I like your term breath work.
Yeah, but
Breath
breathwork
work.
is meditation. Meditation is breathwork. There, I mean, obviously there are different techniques that are integrated in both. What's cool is that you can be walking and meditating and meditating and on a mindful level throughout your day with every task. You could be in conversation with someone and keep bringing your focus back to the center, bringing it back to your soul, your breath. So these things I really believe that our culture is going to shift in the next 10, 15, 20 years, where mindfulness and breath work and mindset, all these concepts won't be outside of us. They are integral in who we are as humans.
Wow, that's a big statement. I like it. I wonder what the audience thinks about that.
Well, even when you were talking about the victory V, what are we each seeking? This conversation really may not even just be about careers or what we are doing. It is really about who we are and where the joy comes from. Because you talked about
That's right.
putting your hand on the heart. When you mentioned something else also, bringing together what you love with what you're doing, the thing that I did in corporate, the thing that I did for 20 plus years with all my degrees and certifications, I still do it, but I do it for myself. And I said it to my husband for years that it's called user experience, but I used to say to my husband, I like to practice this, but give it, this service needs to be something that I give to myself to build my business. And then what that business is, it was still a question mark for a few years. Coaching, I feel like is it's a new wave of where we are supporting each other. It's a form of service. It's paying it forward. You may or may not get paid, but you're definitely paying it forward.
There's different kinds of payment, and we certainly need money to live on. What I'm not so sure is always necessary is the past and often current focus, at least in the business world, on becoming a millionaire or a billionaire, versus really not worrying about the amount of money, but that it's appropriate, that it's fair, and that the way you get it is honorable. Honorable.
Yeah.
And some people don't want to talk about that. Well, they don't become my clients because we wouldn't be a good fit.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I hear you talking about the honorable perspective, and that's counts more than becoming a billionaire or having thousands of dollars available to do anything you want with. The focus on money is, I've had a lot of it, and I've had none of it actually across time. And it didn't really make me happy. What it does do is it buys things, and we certainly need income coming in. But I don't think that's the major point. I think if you go after your talent and skill and you recognize what you can do, what will happen is you'll get these taps on the shoulder. They'll come from outside. I mean, I think people see you as a brave individual. I don't know about people from my past career, whether they saw me as crazy for walking away from a pretty good career. But I do know new people think that I'm brave. And I go, sometimes I have to turn around and say, who are you talking about? Because I chose the only path for my survival. And that was in here, my survival, not in my pocketbook survival. So I don't know. Most of my clients make pretty good money, so I don't think that they never call me because that's the issue. I never get called because money's the issue. There isn't anybody that ever stayed with me who said, I have to make more money. Show me how. Well, the company could show them how. If they learn the culture and want to do what the culture says in their company, they can earn the money. And then the point is, do they want to learn the culture? So we talk about that.
It's true that we all definitely for financial stability need the flow of monetary income, but I also have changed my perspective on that. And don't get me wrong, so we need the money, because we've got a child,
Yes.
a mortgage and all those things, but also recognizing surrender. I believe that what I mean by that is
Surrender.
the surrender comes from recognizing that everything is energy, money is energy, and there's a flow of different kinds of energy, and that what you need when you need it, you will receive it. And having that surrender and trust, and again, not being naive, because I come from a very analytical background, so I won't just naively say, oh, okay, so I don't need to do anything. No, I do have to,
Right.
but I also believe that on some level I often surrender to the degree that, look, I will put my 120% into anything I do. I've always had that perspective. I'm a really hard worker, but at some point I can't fret about what's going to happen next. I put the energy in there. I put the karma, so to speak. And that which is right for me, I will receive when the timing is right. The tap on the shoulder.
Tap on the shoulder. It's amazing. My whole I think I'm successful at what I do now, and not just because I have a lot of book knowledge in my head, which is true, and experience, which is also true, but because I love to give what I didn't get enough of my whole life. And so not just in a past career, but in my whole life. And that was a learning curve for me to really trust that all of the things that make me go like, oh, I don't know why, I don't like that. Perhaps you're unhappy with your job. Maybe that's not the job for you. Maybe that's something for you to think about. I'm sitting in front of a woman here who did the same thing. She thought about it and said, well, I think I want to strike out on my own because I have a dream, I have a destiny, and I think I have enough moxie to get me there, and I trust that I will get what I need and when I need it and when I need it. And that's been true for me and validated by many other people. When I stepped into a whole new life, I mean, it really was stepping onto a like another planet, leaving the health field and moving into the business world, really was stepping into another whole arena. Wonderful arena, exciting and dynamic and challenging and enticing and full of people who could use some of the knowledge that I have. I mean, I'm pretty sure about that.
Absolutely.
Been that way so far.
Yeah, I do. I feel like everything you said resonates with me. And it's not that you walked away from the career without some knowledge that you're utilizing, probably so much more than you
Oh,
were aware of that past knowledge, education,
that's
experience.
right.
And I do the
That's
same.
right.
Like I said, I don't have to hire, like in my case, I don't have to hire a designer or technical person to do some of the stuff because my knowledge and skills have helped me do my own website design and do other things. that other people would have to hire people for. And the other stuff that I don't know, I actually do this thing you and I do, which is we have a connection. We ask each other questions. We help
Right.
each other. Like
Right.
our incubator,
Support.
there's a support system. And none of us are expecting, well, if I hop on a call and help you for with something that, oh, I need some monitoring. So it's part of this. It's part of the culture of helping one another. You know?
I think I agree with you 100%. I'm not so sure that always happens with everybody. People look suspiciously upon that as if there was no free gift. There is no free gift. You have to work for everything. You have to show up. You have to take action every day. And you have to allow new people in your life that may really be a boon to your existence the way you just never thought possible.
You know, that's so amazing the way you articulated that, because just moments before you and I hopped on our podcast, I am a part of another mastermind, which I will probably share more with you after our call. And in that mastermind, I receive an abundance. I have to pay to be a part of this community. However,
Right.
I've told my husband multiple times I've received tenfold, hundredfold in the people that are in that community, on so many levels, that every facet of my business has benefited, and I've also made incredible friends. So, yes, it's not free. However, within that community, we are there to support one another in the mastermind. That's become the new wave. I would say this ties back to the mindset. What is the new generation doing as an entrepreneur, solopreneur? A lot of us are part of masterminds. Our incubator is a mastermind. Essentially, we're supporting one another.
There's a lot of teaching goes back some 40 years that talks about that wonderful word abundance. Abundance is the natural state of affairs in the universe. And I think that's very accurate. In order to get it, you have to be willing to receive. And in order to receive, you have to be with people who are know how to give as well as to receive. And then if you're a giver but are a little awkward at receiving, you have to learn how to receive. And if you're a receiver but you're not so good at giving, then you have to learn how to give so that you have a balance, you know, so that things stay balanced. And that's true in our lives. You have to balance your work life with your family life and with your private life, with the things that the private life, meaning things that we do that are just specific to us. Sometimes it's a hobby framework. Sometimes it's a side job that simply you do it specifically for yourself. You don't do it to make money. You don't do it to join other people. You do it just for yourself. And there's a lot of creativity with that. And I've watched women do wonderful things with their creativity, which is a part of their personal life. So I never looked at creativity that way till I met a few women that were so creative, and they took that creation and made something that they can give to other people, give back what they need to give back, and that they can relish their own self. And I first thing I want to know about a new client is what's your dream goal for yourself? And then the three things on the inside of you value most on the inside of you, in your intellectual and emotional framework self, yourself. How do you see yourself? Then I often ask people, how do other people see you? How do other people see you? And so that becomes a part of being to relax and step into yourself. I whole like that whole idea that you can walk around and be meditating. And really, I guess you and I will be have talk some more about that. Because maybe that's what I've been doing and haven't really realized that that's what I've been doing.
Well,
Very
it's one
interesting.
of the new terms that I've been really kind of marinating in my mind on is embodiment of one's true self. And the more I understand this concept, I'm recognizing that who I am on the inside versus outside versus what I engage with, the energies I engage with, it's all, it sounds hokey, but it's all one because the outside is reflecting what's going on in the inside. And if I'm able to take care of the inside, like you putting your hand on your heart, recognizing that you are happy with what you are doing with your life now, well, that permeates on every cellular level. I mean, how many times have you and I heard, probably in our lifetime, that somebody we may have known had some sort of anxiety, fear, anger, control, especially in the corporate world, I saw a lot of control, and their physiological being then embodied some illness.
Sure does. Heart attacks, anxiety reactions that become out of control. Our health is severely affected by the stress that we undergo, and it's stress whether you have started your own business and don't know how to get the support system that needs to be around you, or the stress that comes from being in a reasonably high-powered job in the work world and knowing how to maneuver within that culture so that you can make good choices about whether you stay there or you do something different within the company, or you do something different altogether. I mean, nobody, I believe, has to make a decision that I made just to walk away from a career. But it was the right decision for me. May not be the right decision for anybody else. Or leaving a company because you're mad that you didn't get the raise that you believe you deserved and probably did deserve. That's a knee-jerk reaction framework that isn't helpful to really be able to plot out where you are with all those other people, and how does that manage itself? It doesn't manage itself. You have to manage that.
You know,
So you'll be more expert at that a year from now than you are now, and so will I, simply because we're working on that.
just right now, I can say that just navigating how to run and establish the infrastructure for my business is it's a growing pain, not in a negative sense, not a growing pain as in something negative, okay, but it's a growing process, but within the world of corporate, there were many times where navigating different parts of the cultures was something that was challenging, and there were no support systems, there was no
No
frame.
support system. That's very true. Very often, I'm not just a teacher of something. I don't think of myself as a teacher, but I'm a support for what my clients want in their work world. And sometimes it's what they want also in their personal world and in their family life, because it's a blend. You know, those three things are a blend for a balance. If there's a balance between there, then things get off kilter. The minute you get off kilter, it's a little bit like eating too much sugar at Christmas time, which is approaching, and your whole body gets off of kilter. So keeping a good balance between work life, family life, and your personal space is it's imperative. It's imperative. Somehow you have to find a way how to do that, and I really understand the process of that, frankly.
Yes, you do.
So I help people with that.
Well, Doctor, one thing that also came to my mind when we were talking about that is the separation of work life versus personal life. I believe that's one of the reasons why there is also emotional breakdown in our culture because When we talk about embodiment, the holistic embodiment of who we are, I don't believe one can truly separate our work life from personal and say that that's me outside, this is me inside of my personal life. I'm not saying you blend the two. What I'm talking about is who you are in one part of your life authentically and arriving as that person on your personal life. Is part of the emotional well-being. It's something that, during the holidays, especially, I think that people think, okay, now that I'm on a holiday, I can be myself. Wouldn't it be nice if you could be yourself? All
All the time, that
the
would be very nice. Matt, you're right. You're really quite right about that. To really be yourself in every venue that you put yourself into is really important. And it means keeping track of your physiological health, your emotional health, and the people you choose to be with. And so the more you want the best that fits you the best, the more you get that, it's like sending signals out. I mean, I really can't explain that sort of thing. I can't explain why this guy tapping me on the shoulder and saying, let's go for a cup of coffee, made so much difference, made all the difference in the world to how I thought about how was I going to get my new profession really successful. It's like it doesn't always depend on me. It does depend on me getting up every morning and taking some kind of action, but it also depends on me being alert to those around me who have something to offer and they'll offer. And I can only guess that I must have turned down many offers, years and years ago
Interesting
when
you should
people
say that.
say,
Well, and my
yeah.
spiritual perspective on what you are articulating, that you took the action of putting yourself in the environment that was conducive, but perhaps there were other things that were already set in motion, like a ripple effect, that the very thought you had created before even putting yourself in that condition, you had already put the mindset that I am ready to explore this. I will then take the action to explore it. You were aware of what your needs were, what your desires were. And then it was almost what I call magnetism. You were magnetically then drawing, attracting the abundance that you're open to.
Okay. Well, there's that word abundance again.
Abundance. I love that.
Abundance.
I love the word abundance lately. I use that in my morning intentions lately. And like if you've probably been around mindfulness, spiritual people like myself, we talk about to manifest something into your existence, you first in your mind believe it's already happened. And you are grateful for what you already have in your life because then you're by being grateful for the good. You are attracting more of it.
Yeah, I think you're quite correct about that. So, as human beings, when we get in a place that we're not feeling so good on the inside, it's really helpful to know what to do with all of that negativity that we can contain, all of the fear we can contain. I guess that's all negativity. Fear, anger. Terrible sadness that you will not let go of, and not quite believing in oneself. So part of my job always has been, my whole life, I think, is with people, is that if I believe you're powerful, what can I do to make you know that I know you're powerful, and I think you have a suspicion that you know you're powerful. Now, how can you just take that if it's only a suspicion? Or sometimes people will say, well, I know I'm powerful. And then we can talk about that because having power means you could be like all of the 4th of July firecrackers going off at the same time. That's pretty powerful. I observed that one time in my life. And that was also scary as well as powerful. Or you can learn to dissipate it, move it out, replenish it as you're moving it out. Bring it in, move it out. Bring it in, move it out. Bring it in, move it out.
Yeah. It reminds me of almost Qigong, which is a physical practice that I practice.
It is. It is. And I did, as I was doing that, I take Kung Fu Tai Chi lessons by a wonderful person in Palatine, Illinois, a master. And all of that has been very helpful in me being in my body, to be in your body and own your body becomes very, very important, and know where all the different parts of you are. And there's a flow to it. Much like meditation, there's a slow, easy flow of power to it.
Yes.
So one of the things we do is move it in and move it out. And move
I,
it
pra- in and move I it practice out. Qigong every morning, so immediately the metaphor resonated, and being embodied in my physical being has been a journey. I don't necessarily believe I'm one of those people that it came naturally to. From a very young age, I was very cerebral. And I would call it even more sensitive and cerebral. However, many times I was told, you're not in your body. I'm like, excuse my French, what the?
What?
But, you know, here I am, a little bit more senior, a little bit more experience in life. And I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I'm understanding the value of it. Because if there's power and energy and recognizing your own ability to be embodied in your physical being.
I think you are getting there. And I'd like to say something to everybody, not just to you, Shilpa. Say it to myself too. To get where you're going is an adventure. And there's a destiny, I think, for everyone. I don't know if that's the right word for everybody. But I believe that there is a specific goal for everyone. And I think of it as like way out there. It's out there. And to know that you're on that path to that goal, even if you don't know what it is, that destiny, which you may not be able to identify in language. I mean, I don't think being a professional speaker is it, or being a coach in the business world is it, but I think it's on the path. And when I see somebody that wants to be on the path, it's like, oh, I'll do anything I can to help, because that means everything. That means everything. So perhaps as you move forward in your career, and all of you in your path, or if you don't have a path, you might wonder, what the heck is she talking about? Well, give me a call and I'll talk to you about that. The thing to believe is that it's all one. It's all wrapped up in here, and it's all wrapped up on a pathway. So if you know you're on the right path, and I think, Shilpa, you know you're on the right path. Am I correct?
I
think you know you. Am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You are correct. It's so funny you should say that, because do you ever feel like there are literal signs, like you're walking into a room and there's a poster or something?
Yes.
A few weeks ago, I got my hair done, and as I'm entering a freeway, it was a sign, literal sign on the freeway, and I forget the exact words on it, but it was saying something like, you're on the right path. And it was funny because I kept thinking about this new business I'm creating, my podcast, and I'm like, I think that that sign was a sign that I'm on the right path. I believe I had always intended to do what I'm doing, because I had naturally always enjoyed going out of my way to coach others. And not to say I had all the answers, but in corporate world, I would graciously give people my time to help them nurture their path.
Guess what? I don't think people need to know all the answers. I do think when you're good at helping other people discover the missing pieces of that fit that's not quite the right fit, it's like putting a puzzle together. If you can help people take a look at something from a different perspective, just like putting together a puzzle on a table. You know you're looking for a piece with a certain dimension. But then if you look at the board from a different direction, if you look at it from a different direction, what happens is you see something that's just right and you, how does that work? You pick it up and you put it in and it fits perfectly. What is all that about? Right? What is all that about? Well, that's what I look forward to with a client. Are you willing to take a look at, boy, there's a destiny for you, and I'll do everything I can to help that take place in with a group of people, because we're always with people, at home, at work, but a private life, we're always with people,
Yeah,
no matter where
absolutely.
we go. Even here on screen, we're with people.
I
We're
love
with
it.
each other.
I love the word destiny and how you've zeroed in on it. We started with a concept of culture in the beginning of our conversation. Regardless of what culture one is in, whether it's as a solopreneur, as an entrepreneur, or working in a corporate environment, it's so important. Important not to lose sight that we have a path and we have a destiny. And ultimately, it may be for something that transcends our experience as a human. It's more about a spiritual path that, and
Sometimes,
for me, that's very innately who I am. I really believe there's a spiritual element of everything, but the path to discovering your destiny through the right mindset sounds like something that all of us need to put at the forefront.
well, yes, I think all of us have the opportunity, but not everybody wants to do that.
Yeah.
Not everybody wants to do that.
No, I think it's because it goes back to the very reason I didn't want to be in the corporate culture any longer is
Right.
the rat race, the people who thought there is nothing here. I can only go get from A to B, or the manager who told me to get my foot off the gas pedal. Well, I wanted to transcend. I wanted to grow. And complacency is often one of the reasons people are unhappy.
Well, would you like to hear a little teeny weeny story? A
Yeah,
teeny
absolutely.
weeny one, I think, is for all of us. So I live with a family member who went shopping and said, the store, it's a great big huge store that has, one side of it has lots of things for the home, and the other side is all food. What happened was, is there wasn't anybody in the food section. Everybody was in the other sections when they were buying for Christmas because of the pressure and the tension to buy stuff for Christmas, to prepare the home for Christmas, to prepare presents, to buy presents, to step into what we all will experience if we celebrate Christmas in any kind of way, to be with our family members. And so the stress of that causes people to go shopping and to come back really feeling worn out before they've even wrapped the presents or put the food away or hid the presents or wrapping them if you have children, all I can say is try breathing like this, stay in the car a little bit, sit back in the car and just breathe. If you like music, put a little bit of music on, spend 5 minutes before you go home.
Yeah, just to be able to slow down and be, it goes back to being present. Yeah, just the holidays are definitely overwhelming. That goes for sure for everyone. Any parting wisdoms on the idea, the notion of Mindset and the path to discovering your destiny. For those who are listening and saying, hey, I like to do more with my life. And it doesn't mean you have to go off and become a solopreneur, but what kind of mindset techniques?
Well, the real question would be is, do you believe in yourself? Do you? And a lot of people don't want to hear that question because they might not, or they feel embarrassed that maybe they don't think about themselves that way. But I think the first step is in believing in yourself. I don't know if these steps are like number one, number two, number three, but one step is, first of all, you have to have some basis to operate on, the same way a house is built. Do you believe in yourself? One of the other things that has to happen is, do you want to have something different than what you have now? And then, if you don't have a plan, you probably need one, or you have a plan you know won't work, so you haven't tried it. Find somebody to help you find a plan so that you can move yourself to a place where your mindset is positive and geared toward not just getting what you need, but being able to give back what you have. At the same time, while being appreciated for what you can do and often paid for what you can do. And it's hard work. I mean, we've been, all of us together on this podcast, and you've watched this young woman, Shilpa, who is just very candid about it. She's got a new business underway. She's very lucky because she knows how to do some of the electronic stuff. And she's going to keep at it. She's going to keep at it until she knows it's a 1 or 2 year or 3 year project. There's no easy answer to be successful, like bingo, bingo, bungo, when you're successful. That, I don't know anybody that had that, frankly. Everybody that's been really very successful has worked hard their whole life and often had a great deal of hardship. So be mindful, tap on the shoulder, put your hand on your heart, sit back and chill out a little bit when you get too tense. And if you have a friend you know you can call, call that friend. Just say, I'm just sitting here in the car because I've just went shopping. I can't stand it anymore or whatever, you know, whatever. And I appreciate you having me on your podcast, your show.
Well, Dr. Joe,
I think what you're doing is wonderful.
Dr. Joe, yeah. I sincerely appreciate how encouraging you are. Every time I talk to you, and I consider you a friend now, you're just not only full of wisdom, but you bring brevity. Levity. You make maybe brevity, but bring
levity. Well, I hope I bring brevity too.
No, I meant levity. You bring levity and you bring wisdom at the same time, which is essential because it's easy to take certain things too seriously at times.
Well, a good sense of humor is probably vital to most people's mental health. Mm-hmm. Maybe one out of a billion doesn't need it, but all the rest of us need a good sense of humor.
We do.
About ourselves and about other things that go on. Laughter, boy, laughter's really, if you've got a friend that you and that person can laugh together, you are lucky. You are lucky. If you've got kids, I bet you're laughing plenty because kids laugh. They don't mind laughing when they think something is funny. It's great. Kids are great.
Kids are great. Yes. And that's one of the things that has brought an immense amount of joy to my husband and I. We're older parents, and our little son yesterday when he walked through the door and he saw my husband putting up the tree, it was just like giggles, explosion.
Whoa.
He was so happy that the tree is finally going up.
It's great. That's great.
Well, Dr.
Thank you very much, Shilpa.
It's such an honor. You have so much wisdom, and I believe that anyone who is seeking a coach in business would highly benefit from engaging with you. Dr. Joe Ann Palais, Trident Business Coaching. You can learn more in the show notes. And I hope to have you back again in 2023.
I would love it. Thank you, Shilpa, very much.
Thank you. An honor. Have a lovely rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thanks again for tuning in. Check out the links in the description and please subscribe, follow, and share, and continue to practice Omni Mindfulness.